Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 194 of the Healthy Skin Show. Today's episode is part two of the conversation all about immunoglobulins and how they can be helpful for your skin. So if you missed episode 193, I encourage you, listen to that episode first before diving into today's conversation. That way, everything will make a ton more sense. I'm so excited to share this part two with you because, especially for those of you who've been wondering about the histamine issues, or you've just had some like random question about immunoglobulins, how to use them, what could go wrong, etc., I asked Karan so much about these particular topics. So we're going to talk first about histamine, and then we're going to dive into this sort of like FAQ that all of the questions have literally been emailed to me or asked by clients. So I am getting the answers to the questions that I know that might be hanging out inside your brain, but you didn't quite know if you should ask or whom to ask. I'm asking the man who knows a ton about this. So I know that you're going to love this. Let's dive in. Okay, so you have mentioned a bunch of times about toxins, toxins in the gut, and certain bugs produce toxins. We talked about C. diff on the last podcast in regards to Megaspore because of how it could, what was it? You said it like surrounds it like circling wagons and helps get it out of the body. And so, you know, I have a lot of clients and a lot of listeners who are really struggling with a histamine overload picture. So some of them have a high total IgE. They may show elevated eosinophils on their blood count panels. They may have loads of environmental allergies. They struggle at night sleeping because maybe they have hives sometimes all the time, but a lot of times people notice the symptoms get worse as they get into the day and into the evening. And maybe even the antihistamines aren't helping all that much. And they can have eczema. I have a few clients that have psoriasis that have this picture. But then we've got like the chronic urticaria people who like, they have no idea why they have these hives. So how can immunoglobulins and this type of supplemental support, how is it possible that it might be useful in these types of cases or instances where histamine is their system's just inundated with so much histamine and they just can't deal with it, essentially?
Yeah. And I think to really understand that, it's important to understand where some of these conditions are coming from, right? Like what is the root cause that is driving this histamine overload, this high eosinophils, this itchiness, intolerance everywhere throughout the body? So it all starts in the gut, obviously. You know, I think anyone listening to this could have guessed that, but let's talk specifically how it starts in the gut, right? So again, this is another factor that's driven often by dysbiosis. So let's say you had a couple courses of antibiotics, or you went through a period of just poor choices, eating, lifestyle, stress, so on. Now you've got a dysbiotic, which means that you've got lower levels of protective commensal organisms, higher levels of opportunistic organisms, right? And what that can translate into is intestinal permeability issues, which means that there's a constant influx of compounds into the inner lining of the gut, which continuously drives inflammatory immune responses to the lining of the gut. So now you've got an inflamed gut, you've got dysbiosis, you've got an imbalance of bacteria. What can all of that look like from the perspective of the things that you're talking about? Well, number one, which I mentioned earlier, when you have low levels of secretory IgA, you end up getting higher expressions of peripheral IgE being expressed, right? And the big controlling factor to how much IgA you produce is what does your microbiome look like? Lots of your commensal organisms work very closely with your Peyer's patches, which is the immune tissue in your small intestines, your mucus-associated lymphoid tissue, your gut-associated lymphoid tissue. They interact with those tissues to trigger your immune system to produce more IgA. If those organisms aren't present and you've got more opportunistic organisms, you don't get the stimulus to produce more IgA. And so as a defense, your body naturally produces more IgE instead, right? So that could be one step. And often it's involved in this whole process of people that are histamine intolerant. The second part of that is that dysbiosis also brings down a system called the Treg system, right? And there's a couple of different aspects of the Treg system. There's something called a FOXP3 positive Treg system, but the whole point of that system is to regulate immune responses that are not favorable to the host, right? So these allergic type responses, the histamine, eosinophilic type of responses to things that aren't really harming you, like food particles and environmental particles, the Treg system is supposed to create learning for the immune system. So the immune system recognizes that, hey, this is a food protein. We don't need to react to it. It's not causing the host harm. And then it creates a tolerance against that protein. But again, the function and elevation of the Treg system is dependent on the interaction of your commensal bacteria with your gut-associated lymphoid tissue or your gut-associated immune tissue, right? So if you don't have a good, healthy, diverse microbiome, you've got constant leakiness in the gut, so lots of inflammation in the gut, you have more opportunistic microbes growing, less of your commensal microbes, and you've got a double whammy now. You've got no Treg function, so your immune system cannot regulate itself. And then you've got an immune system that's in panic mode, so it's just putting out as much IgE as it can to try to protect the host. And so everything that you encounter gets an IgE, eosinophilic, basophil type of response, right? So now your default immune response to the world around you is through the IgE allergic hypersensitivity response, because the other systems that are dependent on microbes are not functioning because your microbes are off, right? So that's the explanation for how all of this kind of goes haywire. And once it starts down that road, it just gets worse and worse and worse over time, right? You become more and more and more sensitive to more and more and more things. That's because your immune system is not learning and you're not getting what we call oral tolerance. You're not building resistance to the things that you normally get exposed to that you don't need an immune reaction to. So how does something like the IgG help with that? Well, number one, if you've got an overexpression of opportunistic organisms, that IgG helps neutralize and reduce the toxigenic impact of those opportunistic organisms, right? Now, that again gives your commensal organisms a better shot at starting to overcome the competition from the opportunistic. The IgG also has shown to be able to reduce the inflammatory type of responses in the gut lining. They've done studies on, ulcerative colitis, for example, that is hallmark, but huge inflammation in the gut lining. Using the IgG can bring down the inflammation. So it's starting to turn the environment a little bit within the gut lining so that now you have more ability for the commensals to start growing. You have microbes like Fecalum bacteria, your keystone species that can produce butyrate and short chain fatty acids so you can rebuild the lining of the gut. And then you can start then triggering the Treg system so your immune system can run around and go, okay, we don't need to start reacting to that, and it can shut down all of those unfavorable immune responses, right? And the good news about all of this is all of that can be done and achieved at any given point. It's not like, oh, I'm now, sensitive to all these things. I'm going to be this way for the rest of my life. If you change that ecosystem and the structure, it'll help you get to the other side where you build tolerance. And the IgG is a component of helping you get there.
And I want to add to this. Many of you know I have talked about histamine overload on the podcast, and we'll link to some of those episodes because if you haven't heard them, it is helpful for you to understand that it's more than just I seem to be sensitive to everything, because one thing people don't realize is that some gut bugs cause mast cell destabilization, thus they release their histamine. But some bugs actually produce histamine in the GI tract, like Morganella, for example. And so unless your doctor knows exactly what to test for, which a lot of times they don't, and sometimes people don't have any GI symptoms at all, but there is usually, when I've done stool testing in clients, there's usually a problem going on there. And the other thing that I'll add to this conversation is that from a parasitic perspective, it is very common to see high total IgE levels and no explanation as to why it's elevated, and parasitic issues can be an underlying cause that's oftentimes overlooked, because we assume that because we live in the United States or Canada or some, you know, I guess first world country, we'll put that in air quotes, that we're not exposed to parasites. And I mean, Karan, right, we can be exposed to parasites anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, especially given our inability to maintain really healthy soil conditions and all that with good diverse microbial life in soil, right? We treat our soil chemically with so many things that creates an unusual ecosystem that selects for resistant microbes and parasites and things like that. So absolutely, we can be exposed to those. And I think one of the other things that people forget, and maybe they just don't even know, is that when you've got this imbalance of microbes in your system, right, when you've got an overgrowth of the opportunistics and they keep pumping out their toxins because they're trying to ward off the commensals from competing with them, one of the natural ways that the commensals try to alert your immune system that there are pathogenic or problematic organisms is by triggering a histamine release. Right? So histamine and taurine are two key chemical signatures that your microbiome, your commensals, use to alert your immune system to there being a problem with the ecosystem and the gut lining. So now you've got, you know, mast cell destabilization, releasing a bunch of histamine, and then your commensals are trying to say to your immune system, hey, something is off here. You need to keep coming here and paying attention. So they're triggering more histamine release because of that chronic overgrowth of opportunistic and pathogenic organisms. So it's a recipe for disaster, and it's a multi-pronged problem. It's not just one thing. And it requires a multi-pronged approach, right? It requires doing a number of things to try to bring back balance into the system. The IgG plays such an awesome role in assisting in bringing back that balance.
So let's talk about some practical things, because the last time when we discussed the Megaspore Biotic, you answered a lot of questions that listeners have about these types of products, which for those of you who are listening, like, where can I get some Mega IgG 2000? You can head to getmegaspore.com and I gotcha. We got some available for you guys, because I've just loved using this in my practice. And one of the things that people ask is like, can I take this out of a capsule? Like, will it destroy the immunoglobulins if, say, I have to add it to a protein shake because I can't swallow pills?
Yeah, no, not at all. They can. In fact, the prescription version of this is done so in a drink powder. So, which is, you add to any soft foods, you add to a shake, you add to whatever you want. So absolutely, you can do it that way.
Okay. And so how would someone get started if they wanted to test this out? Do you recommend really low and slow and slowly increase? Or do you just dive into like two capsules twice a day? And is this done with food or is it better done away from food?
Yeah. You know, here's one I like to take it. And I take this every day. It's one of like three or four things that I tend to be quite disciplined about. I take a dose at night before bed, because there's a lot of cleanup going on in your gut and your microbiome when you sleep. A lot of the housekeeping genes and housekeeping, microbes, become active in the nighttime, right? So there's a lot of cleaning up going on, and this plays a big role in cleaning up. And then I also like to take it in the morning when I wake up. So in both cases, I'm taking it on an empty stomach. There's no issue with taking it with food if it's easier for you to remember that way, but I like to kind of provide my GI tract assistance as it's going through that cleaning up process. You don't necessarily have to go low and slow with this, right? It's not like the Megaspore where you can have die-off reactions and so on. most people start off with the 2 grams a day, which is 4 caps. So you can do that in the evening before you go to bed or when you wake up in the morning. Either one is fine. It's probably better to do 4 caps at once and splitting it at 2 caps and 2 caps, right? You want to get a good volume in there so you've got your binding and doing a lot of, you're neutralizing a lot of things at once. But you can take upwards of 6-7 grams of this. The prescription version is 5 grams twice a day. So it's 10 grams of this stuff, right? That's the way that gastroenterologists are using it. So you could take upwards of 10, 15 capsules of this if it helps you. And you'll find your own kind of dose that really is optimal for you. For me, when I was traveling a lot before the world ended, it was 4 caps twice a day. It was the best. Like, I slept better, you know, I felt less fatigue from all the moving around and eating all kinds of crazy food all over the place. So I would take four before bed, 4 when I woke up. But I know a lot of people that do great with just 4. And I've known people with real severe sensitivity issues that have had to go to, like, 16 capsules a day, right? So you can keep going up and finding your threshold that really helps you. So there's no issue danger going higher and higher. Remember, the approved prescription version, they go upwards of 10 grams twice a day. So they're taking almost 20 grams per day. So no issue there. The what was the other part of the question? I think we can remove it out of the capsule. Yes. You can use it that way. Oh, you don't have to go low and slow. I would recommend everyone start with at least 4 caps. On this, and if you have to take it, if you need to take it with a meal, totally fine. But I like taking it on an empty stomach before bed or when I wake up.
And this is obviously a podcast for adults. Everybody knows that I work with adults, though I do have some practitioners on who work with kids. But mm-hmm. if there is a parent listening and they're like, oh my goodness, my 7-year-old or my 3-year-old or my teenager has problems. I know, again, everybody, you got to check with your practitioner and your doctor, because this is not any type of advice. This is for informational purposes. But is this an option for little ones?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's absolutely fine for little ones. You know, again, check with your healthcare practitioner. But the studies that were done, like the ulcerative colitis study I mentioned, that study was actually in a pediatric ulcerative colitis patients. Right. So it's kids with UC and they tolerated it beautifully. It really supported their better GI function, really helped support like healthier responses in these kids. So there's no issue there at all. My kids, I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and during certain times during the year, especially when we get into the cold and flu season time, they take, on average, I think they take about 2 or 3 caps a day. I open it up, mix it into, you know, their yogurt, whatever soft food they like to eat, mix it in with the spores at the same time. And there's no issue at all. I have given them higher doses when we travel and we're eating, you know, questionable things in Cambodia. Then they get 4 caps just in case, right? So yeah, absolutely. Perfectly fine with kids.
And I was going to ask you that. You brought up about the spores, which I know you mean Megaspore Biotic. Mm-hmm. Is this okay to take along with Megaspore Biotic?
Yeah, they go hand in hand beautifully. We wanted to launch this product, and I'll give you a quick bit of history as to how I even came across this product. The NIH, the National Institutes of Health, published a study a long time ago, maybe now 8 years ago, saying that the biggest driver of mortality in HIV is HIV enteropathy or leaky gut, right? So one of the biggest drivers of going from having HIV positive to AIDS, which is then, you know, now it's not terminal anymore, but it used to be terminal, is leakiness in the gut. How leaky is your gut, right? And that's a profound thing for the NIH to do a study and show that. And so in the world of HIV researchers, it became very clear that we needed to find solutions for dealing with severe leaky gut inflammation and intestinal permeability issues in the gut, right? So we got involved in that because one of those HIV researchers reached out to us based on our studies on leaky gut in using Megaspore. And so we were at a meeting, I think in Portland or somewhere like that, where it was like a research meeting with the top HIV researchers in the US and a few of us companies that have products that may work in that condition. And the company that makes this product was also there because they not only had studies on helping with gut lining issues, but they actually had studies already on HIV. They published a couple of studies on patients, HIV patients with really severe inflammation and leakiness in the gut, and showed really impressive data on that. So seeing that and understanding how the immunoglobulins work and how that is compatible and complementary to how the spores work, it became very clear that the combination could be really quite powerful. And so our approach from that point on was, okay, if you guys are going to study this in HIV, study the combination of it, right? So that's how we started working together. And then we started to realize quickly that we really need to offer this to our audience, our healthcare practitioner audience, because even though that kind of enteropathy is driven by HIV, it's no different than the kind of leakiness and all that occurs for other reasons, right, that leads to other problems. So
that leads me to a quick, interesting question. HIV means you're immunocompromised, essentially. Mm-hmm. So for someone who does legitimately have an immunocompromised system, and obviously, again, check with your healthcare provider, but would that mean that these could possibly be an option for you if you are immunocompromised?
Yeah, and there's no reason to think that it's not compatible for someone immunocompromised, right? So if someone is immunocompromised, it either means one of a couple of things. One is their immune system is acting in an erroneous way, meaning it's not protecting against the things you should be protected against. Instead, it's attacking a bunch of stuff that you don't need it to attack. Or B, it's simply non-functional at the level that it should be. So it's not reacting to things the way it should, right? At the end of the day, what immunoglobulins do when you take them as supplements is it's lending a helping hand to your immune system because it's taking off some of that toxic burden and response requirement from the immune system, because you already are taking in antibodies, which is the end product of an immune response in your body. You're already taking the end product that's neutralizing and reducing the toxic load of a number of things in your gut. So it's really a helping hand to your immune system, right? Because remember, in your own immune response, right, the end product of your immune response is an IgG antibody to whatever it is that your immune system is responding to. Now what you're doing is taking in a bunch of IgG that helps neutralize things that are driving inflammation and all that in your gut lining already. So it's a huge help to your immune system.
Very cool. So I have one last question. Any side effects? I know you had mentioned with Megasporebiotic, we can have die-off. Mm-hmm. Any side effects or anything that people should be aware of if they're taking it and maybe they need to slow down? Or is it pretty, most people tend to see improvements as a result of working with this type of supplementation?
Yeah, so there's only one to keep in mind of, and it maybe impacts 15% or so of people, and that is that they could get a little bit constipated when they first take it. Now, the easy way to overcome that is to increase your water intake. And in part because when your gut is loose, when your bowels are loose, right, and you have loose bowels all the time, what's happening is your intestines are not absorbing liquid very well, right? And so more of the liquid goes out of your system rather than getting absorbed in, and so it comes out as loose stool. Now, when you counteract that, what can happen is you may absorb now more liquid than you did before, thereby creating less liquid to move the stool down the system. So what we tell the people is what some people who take it may experience that better absorption of liquid, which is a good thing, but it can slow down the bowels then. So what you need to overcome that is just taking in more water. So we say, hey, just have an additional 12, 16 ounces of water throughout the day and you're perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with having more water anyway.
And this is not a binder like you know, activated charcoal, right? Yeah. Like that. It's so for people who are nervous that it's going to bind up their nutrients or other supplements, that's not, when we say bind, it's not the same type of binder, correct?
As 100%. And that's a really important thing to bring up, which I'm glad you did, because a lot of people ask me about this compared to things like clay and charcoal and diatomaceous earth and so on. Those things are like mudslides, right? Going through your gut. It's just grabbing everything and sweeping it out. Good stuff and bad stuff. And that's that can be problematic in some ways, if you, especially if you do it a lot. This is highly specific because remember, these are antibodies, and these antibodies, each one is highly targeted towards a single target, whether it's a mold toxin, it's a bacteria, it's a virus, it's a environmental toxin, whatever it may be. Each antibody has a specific target. And if there happens to be an antibody in there and it doesn't have a target, meaning you don't contain one of the targets that it has, it just moves out through defecation, right? So it's not binding up good stuff that you really don't want to bind up.
Perfect. Oh my goodness. You answered like every question that I have gotten from listeners of the show, folks who've seen that Mega IgG 2000 in my shop. And this has been so helpful. I think for everybody listening, you know, you have to understand that there is this incredibly intricate connection between what's happening in the GI tract and on the skin. And so this may be really helpful for you. I use it in my practice and have really loved the results that I've gotten with it. So, you know, if you have any questions, certainly let us know. And if you're interested in checking out more information on the product, you can go to getmegaspore.com and check everything out there. Thank you, Karan, so much for joining us. You have just like unleashed this mountain of incredible information. And I deeply appreciate you and your willingness to share this type of information, because it can be so life-changing. Because quality of life, when you're really sick, you know, you lose out on time, you lose out on experiences. And for someone who can get their life back and start to have more normalcy, is just so crucial. And I know everyone listening really appreciates all the time and energy and wisdom that you've imparted and shared here on the show. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, it's my absolute pleasure. And I would say to people, if you know, if this made sense to them, if they now understand a little bit better what's happening in their system, how it goes awry and all that, hopefully people are encouraged to share that information with others, right? Because this is the kind of knowledge that needs to get out there, and people need to be empowered with a better understanding of what's going on in their system, because ultimately we have to advocate for ourselves, right? We can't lean on others for our own health and wellness. We have to advocate for ourselves and our loved ones. So, you know, share this information, share this recording, share this the concepts if you understood it well from this. And for me, that's my mission. I'm always out here trying to educate people and make these complicated concepts more, quote unquote, digestible, no pun intended. But thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate the opportunity.
I am so excited that you guys finally got to hear part two. It was such a pleasure to interview Karan, and I appreciate him sharing all of the knowledge that he possibly could with us in this time frame. It's been my goal to keep bringing you guys information, tips, tricks that might not even be discussed anywhere else. And this is one thing where I really don't see it being discussed very much, especially in regards to chronic skin issues. So it's my hope that not only is this a really great new opportunity for practitioners to start taking action and testing this out with their clients and their patients, but also for you. This is something that you can do. And so if you're curious about testing out the Mega IgG, you can head to getmegaspore.com, and there you will find Mega IgG. Grab yourself a bottle and give it a shot. And it's definitely important to consider that this is usually in conjunction with other things that you're working on. So it absolutely can really be blended into a protocol quite well. And obviously, you have a lot more information now at your fingertips of how to utilize something like this. For all of the links, and if you're looking for an actual transcript, head on over to skinterrupt.com/194, and you'll find everything there waiting for you. And you can also leave a question or a comment that I'm happy to answer. And while you're at it, make sure to share this episode or even this entire two-part series with someone you know who's really struggling with their rashes, and especially if they have that more histamine-y type picture. This could be a game changer for them, something they're probably not going to hear from their dermatologist. And even maybe their functional or integrative practitioner might not realize the benefits of including immunoglobulins in their protocol. So make sure to share this with them. And if you haven't done so yet, head on over to your podcast platform of choice, rate and review The Healthy Skin Show, and make sure to hit the subscribe button. That way you never miss our weekly doses of inspiration, hope, tips, tricks, and all sorts of really good information changing the way you can approach your skin. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.